Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Well, it's time to talk some football as we do every day with the Professor John Clayton joining us. John, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
We're good. Not as good as the Seahawks, who didn't have to lift a finger but became the best team in the NFC over the weekend by virtue of the Packers getting trounced, the Rams in a surprising loss to the 49ers, and now they are the sole undefeated team in the NFC. Couldn't have gone better for them, right?
No, it went perfect. I mean, it went well last week in, you know, getting the victory over Minnesota and then having things go right. Like, for example, having San Francisco lose to Miami, their third straight home loss, taking them down to three losses. That helped. It certainly helped yesterday that, you know, Green Bay ended up losing. You got San Francisco coming up and beating the Rams. So now the Seahawks get a game and a half lead. You know, they've got an edge right now in the NFC. Number one seed because Green Bay's got one loss, and you got Tampa Bay with two losses and two losses for the New Orleans Saints. So, no, it really went well.
John, what surprised you most from that 49ers-Rams game, that the 49ers looked so good or the Rams didn't?
Well, I kind of surprised. And again, that's why I keep going back and forth in the Rams. I've had the toughest time trying to figure out because I thought, you know, with all the losses they've had on defense, that 11 defensive starters and a nickel a cornerback in a matter of 2 years, you're thinking there's no way. And again, you can't name other than three players who start, Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers and Jalen Ramsey. You can't name any of the other eight guys. And so, you know, Taylor Rappin, he's not even starting. I mean, he's a Washington guy, but you can't name those guys. And so you think, okay, here they are, like ranked eighth on defense. They're looking better there. But now, how much of that was playing four games against the NFC East and going 4-0? And then, of course, now we see the defense exposed a little bit more. You know, they came back and had an incredible comeback and almost won in Buffalo, but they gave up 28 points to fall behind 28-3. That's not good. And then, of course, you know, they gave up the 24 points to a battered, bruised, beaten up San Francisco 49er team. So, you know, it brings them down a little bit to normal, but it still looks to me like the Rams are the main adversary for the division right now for the Seahawks.
What do you think of the game plan for the 49ers? It looked like they managed Garoppolo really, really well, and I don't know if that was because of his ankle and they didn't want him testing it much, but they charted how many of those passes were actually behind the line of scrimmage. Right. And they went for it was all yards after the catch, and his receivers did a great job. But I thought Shanahan deserves credit for either managing a quarterback he doesn't trust to throw the ball down the field that much, or a quarterback he just was worried about that ankle being problematic.
Well, I think he learned something from last week when he shouldn't have played Garoppolo, because you can see how bad it was. You know, he goes 7-for-17 for 77 yards, and because of the high ankle sprain, he couldn't put any pressure on the right leg and dig, you know, on his plant foot into the ground and throw the ball. So that played against him. So that didn't go well. And then, you know, I think what he learned is like, okay, let's change things around. And that's why he's such a good coach. He and Sean McVay are like that. And so now you change the game plan. You go ahead and you take the idea. It's like, all right, fine. We got to get back to our running game and get the 30 carries that we need there. That's the model that he likes to use. And we'll work short as opposed to long. And of course, it did help that he's got Deebo Samuel back, because, you know, Deebo is one of the keys right now, because, you know, he's so fast and he's so good with yards after the catch and also with the jet sweeps that he could take advantage of that. And so I think it was a smart game plan. And also it has to be smart, because if you're going to be throwing the ball on 5- and 7-step drops, you may not have a chance against Aaron Donald, particularly with an offensive line that for 2-3 weeks has been really struggling.
So do you buy any of the reports that they had an interest in Matt Ryan or any of the, it seems like we keep hearing, whether it's weekly or every season anyway, since they've gotten Garoppolo, that they're not that pleased with him, and there's always somebody in the wings that they're looking for to replace him.
Yeah, media mistakes, I think, more than anything else, because, again, it's like all the people that thought, oh, boy, the Seahawks should go for Cam Newton. They should go for Jameis Winston and all those different things. They're like, no, this is Russell Wilson's team, and this is still the team for the 49ers for Jimmy Garoppolo. And so it's like, I never bought that idea. I mean, you know, in the back of his mind that Kyle Shanahan really likes Kirk Cousins, maybe not as much now as bad of a season he's having with the 10 interceptions, but you know he likes Kirk Cousins because of their time together in Washington. But no, I never bought the total idea that just because they benched him because he was struggling with that high ankle sprain, that all of a sudden they want him out of there. I mean, you think about the idea. When Jimmy Garoppolo plays, they have a better chance of winning, right? Because again, you know, he misses 2 years ago, misses the most of the season. They win two games. He comes back, and all of a sudden, they're in the Super Bowl. Not that he's a great quarterback. You know, he has a slight edge, in my opinion, over Jared Goff. Although Goff has the edge this year, but you know, Garoppolo, though probably what 80% ends up beating Goff. That's good for him.
John, I think everybody was settling in around 1 o'clock yesterday expecting a good game between Green Bay and Tampa Bay. And I have to admit to you, Professor, that the 43-year-old quarterback looked like Aaron Rodgers and not Tom Brady yesterday.
Yeah, he did. I mean, did not look good. Certainly, Aaron. And again, what you wonder about is now he gets Devontae Adams back, so you think he's going to be able to do things, and he jumps off to the 10-0 lead. But, you know, I think you see that they had a problem with the blitzes, and the blitzes force more pressure, and the pressures force more mistakes. And so after dropping up 10-0, then they fall behind and give up 38 unanswered points, and that's not good. So they basically came down to earth, and I thought it was a kind of curious comment that Aaron made after the game where he said, well, this is good for us because this will, you know, get us waiting, get our attention spans better. And it's like, what are you talking about? I mean, you were 4-0, you didn't have an interception, you had 13 touchdown passes, and you're averaging 38 points a game. I mean, I don't think it's a matter of complacency. I mean, you just got outplayed against a defense that you didn't match up well against. And I think it shows, I mean, hey, blitzes do affect Aaron Rodgers like they affect everybody else. And Aaron may be Superman, but, you know, his cape came down a little bit.
Hey, every week we talk about how dismal the Jets are and how bad things are there, and they get trounced by the Dolphins 24-0, and you got the back and forth between Adam Gase and his defensive coordinator. How long can that whole thing exist out there? I mean, it feels like each week it's just a little bit worse when it's already hot garbage.
Well, I mean, I think it's a lot worse each week. I mean, because now you throw into the fact that here's Le'Veon Bell. He gets upset after being on injured reserve for 3 weeks and getting upset when they didn't put him on the field enough, so they cut him. And you know, the great stat on that is that on the 53-man roster, they only have one player who's been to the Pro Bowl, and that's 37-year-old Frank Gore. That's not good. And then Gore was yelling and shouting at his teammates because he was so upset with the way that they were performing. Problems there. Problems in the locker room. You take your first-round pick, Mika Becton, who is playing pretty well. You put him as an emergency tackle, and then you have to put him in the game, and now he gets hurt more, and so he's out. You put Sam Darnold back in the game after having his shoulder slammed into the ground, and now he's going to be out several weeks. So that's not good. So you throw all that together. Oh, and by the way, the defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, takes a shot at Adam indirectly by saying, well, we may be giving up 32 points a game, but it's not all on the defense. There's other reasons that people recognize, pointing to Adam as the head coach. And so now you have a feud between the coordinator and the head coach. I mean, it's a disaster. I mean, unless they just basically think Adam is the key right now to getting him the number one pick in Trevor Lawrence. That's the only reason maybe they're keeping him as a job.
He's the key to going winless. He's the key to our absolute disastrous season. We got to keep him in place.
Yeah, got to keep him in place because, I mean, if we're going to tank for Trevor, he's the best guy driving the tanker truck.
Well, on the other side of the ball, John, Miami looks pretty good. They're 3-3 now, and we saw Tua Tagovailoa for the first time. Completed his first two passes, and it was pretty cool seeing that photo of him just taking it all in after the game, sitting out on the field. But Ryan Fitzpatrick's been playing well, so yes. I don't think we're quite there yet in Miami, are we?
No, I mean, you can't be there because, again, it's like, they've got two wins against two teams. At that time, San Francisco had a 2-3 record and had so many injuries that they were vulnerable, and the Jets are terrible, so they were able to win that game. So, you know, what you have, and I just spent a lot of time researching this, is that there's about 12 really bad teams in the league, right? And, you know, you got 10 teams right now with one win or less, one less being the New York Jets at zero, and then their record is, 13-54-2 combined. 13-54-2. And if you're wondering, compared to last year, there was 8 teams at this time with one win or less. You've got 10, and there's only been 4 instances where you have one of those bad boys, you know, winning a game against a 500 team or better, only 4 times. And so what you're seeing is that it's inflating the haves and is killing the have-nots. And so that's why Seattle has such a great chance, because, you know, they've already won 5 games against teams, one of them, Miami, at 3-3, who's really more of a 2-3 team, but again. They're 3-3 and four teams that had losing records with good quarterbacks. Then you throw in the remaining time. They got Buffalo, who's a winning team, and then they've got four games against losing teams that barely are one win or less. So that works to their favor, too. So in reality, you know, it's going to pump up and probably have as many as 10 or 11 teams in with 10 wins or more, and some of those teams aren't going to make the playoffs.
So, John, what was your takeaway from that Steelers-Browns game? I walked away from it going, all right, that Steelers defense looked really good. It wasn't as if their offense – I mean, Roethlisberger was no great shakes that day, 14 of 22 for 162 yards. But Baker Mayfield was not good. Two interceptions on the day, sacked four times, and they pull him. Mm-hmm. Did you look at that as, hey, he's having a terrible day, let's get him out of there, or let's save him from a beating because he was dealing with a little bit of an injury issue coming into this game?
Save him from a beating, because I know we talked about this on Friday, and I said that there's no way he's gonna struggle to get through the game, because here he is with a rib injury, and he's going against a blitzing team that goes 57% of the time blitzes, and so it went even worse because they fell behind so early and were not competitive, and now it took them out of the run game that Kevin Stefanski likes so much and put him in a position where they had the pass, and they took him out of the game, not because of poor performance. They took him out to save him, because if not, I mean, he could have suffered that injury that would knock him out for several weeks. So I thought that was a smart thing to do, but that was so predictable because, again, Pittsburgh with their blitzes are so good at causing havoc and causing problems. And, if you can't get the ball to the wide receivers and then you're behind early and you have to throw it, you're in trouble.
Steelers, Titans, and Seahawks, all 5-0, John, the only unbeaten teams left. How do you rate those three?
Right now, I mean, I think if you're doing the ratings, I mean, you still put Seattle number one. Now I think you start to think about I still put Kansas City number two. I think then you put Pittsburgh number three, Baltimore number four. Then I think you go with Tampa Bay number five. So I think Tampa Bay comes in next.
Where do you have the Bears?
Probably 10.
10, even though they're 5-1.
5-1, but again...
No one believes in the Bears, John. I think that's going to work in their favor, because I'm going to be motivated if I'm a Chicago Bears player, because nobody thinks I'm any good.
Is that human nature, Jim?
It's human nature, John. Trust me on this one.
By the way, human nature... Was I right about Jacksonville, by the way? Never mind.
Uh-oh. Yes, Professor, you were.
Uh-oh.
You were. Their defense is terrible, John.
Yeah, I know.
Well, was it the defense's problem?
Is that what happened? They can't stop anybody. I mean, they got nothing left on defense. But no, I think what you're looking at with the Bears, and again, I know sometimes the point differential gets a little skewed, but they're now what, plus 12 in the point differential, even though they're 5-1. Now, that's not good. And then Matt Nagy now for the second straight week basically said our offense is not very good, and they've got a really good defense. We know that the defense keeps them in games, but I think what you're looking at is they're kind of like a Buffalo team from last year or maybe the last 2 years, where you had and of course that's changed. I mean, we'll see how it's doing today, but Josh Allen was only getting 19.2 points a game in his starts until this year, and they're not getting the points on offense. They got 23 yesterday, but so much of their success is on the defensive side of the ball, because the defense can maybe keep teams under 20 points, but in a year like this where the quarterbacks can do so well, that may not be sustainable. We'll see if it is, but they're 5-1, but to me they still look like a 9-win team.
All right, John, there were two things I didn't like about the Houston-Tennessee game. Would you like to hear what those are?
Sure.
Okay, and I think you might agree with one of them and disagree with the other one. Number one, Romeo Crennel, isn't he the interim coach there at Houston?
The interim coach. Yes, he is.
Okay, so they take a 36-29 lead with a minute 53 to go, and he chose to go for two there and just basically win the game if they make the two-point conversion and go ahead by nine. But they missed the two-point conversion, and so they allowed Tennessee to come down, get a touchdown, kick the extra point, and go into overtime and win the game. And then the other thing I had a problem with, John, and I know the seam head football guys, the analytic guys, mm-hmm. will say, well, no, it was a good call to try and go ahead by nine there, but I would argue otherwise with my math skills telling me that why not take an eight-point lead, and then you're assuring, I don't know, we'll get to that in a second. Then I didn't like the coin flip, John. Once again, there's another game where the defense doesn't stop the other team, and they didn't get a chance to go on the field with their offense, and Tennessee wins the game.
Mm-hmm. I agree with all that, because, again, it's like You want to get the ball and get the touchdown drive. If you don't have the confidence in the touchdown drive, you know, you're going to lose 7 minutes on the clock, and you may put yourself in a position to get a tie if they do get the field goal drive, and then you have to come back and try to get a field goal drive or a touchdown to try to win it, and then it's going to be a tie. But I think what we saw it three times in the last 2 weeks, the analytical people that say, hey, go for the 2 points, and I think it was wrong. Okay, for example, you're right about the Romeo Crennel, and I agree 100%, is that you go ahead, and now you give Tennessee the chance to come back. You know, particularly, you know, here's an incredible one, is that in the 15 starts that Ryan Tannehill's had, you know, he's come back and he's thrown for almost 4,000 yards, 35 touchdown passes, and completing 69.6% of his passes. But here's the even more incredible stat, and that's why you can put both Derrick Henry leading the league in rushing, having back-to-back 200-yard games, and you can also put Tannehill in the MVP race, which right now they'd lose to Russell Wilson. But incredible stat, in his 15 starts, he's had 5 fourth quarter comebacks and a total of 7 game-winning drives. So in other words, he is able, when they're behind, to be able to come back. And that's where, you know, I don't know if Romeo was thinking about it, but it's like, if you do that to Russell Wilson like Mike Zimmer did, then you're going to come back and you're going to lose. And so I think Ron Rivera going for that 2-point conversion at the end, Riverboat Ron was wrong. It's like, did it work? And he said, and Romeo said, I'd go for the 2 points again. Well, yeah, but you're wrong.
Hey, what did you brought up Cousins earlier, and I saw his comments after the game saying, hey, if I keep throwing these interceptions, I'm not going to finish the season. He had 3 picks. He had 3 mm-hmm. touchdowns, and they lose. They give the Falcons their first win of the season. How likely is it that he gets pulled based on the commitment they made to him financially? And, I mean, is his backup actually going to be better than what he's capable of being? What do you think of Cousins and what he had to say?
I think it shows a dilemma, because, you know, they're in a position having given him the $33 million extension where they almost are stuck with him unless they can trade him and give him away in a trade. And that's going to be difficult, too, because of his big number and how bad he's been playing off and on. He did okay against Seattle, but he was horrible in at least 2 or 3 games so far this year. But I think he's right. If you keep on throwing picks with Mike Zimmer, he will bench you. You will not be as good with the backup coming in, because it doesn't equal the talent that Kirk Cousins has, but it's not working. And their season is going right down the toilet, right, with the way their offense and defense is playing together. Because think about this. Here's a Falcon defense that's young at cornerback, giving up 30 points a game, and look how well they played against Kirk Cousins, and so much of that was because of Kirk Cousins.
Who is their backup? Is it
is it Trevor Siemian?
No.
Jake Browning still there?
He's Mannion, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Mannion, yeah.
Well, they got Sean Mannion there?
Yeah. Sean Mannion, yeah.
All right. Okay, Professor, either-or question here. Pittsburgh, which team is going to be hurt more? Devin Bush is out with a knee injury, the linebacker there for the Steelers, mm-hmm. or the offensive, the tackle there, Taylor Lewan, he's out with a knee injury. Are the Titans going to be hurt more or the Steelers?
I think it's going to be the Steelers, because Devin Bush is such a good player. And you can appreciate this with the Jamal Adams trade. Pittsburgh kind of did something that they have not done much, because, you know, normally they'll sit there, be a playoff team or be near the playoffs and draft 20 or so, and it's hard to get that Pro Bowl type player as good as Devin Bush. So last year they traded up and they were able to get Bush. And he lived up as a 10th pick in the draft to be a Pro Bowl caliber linebacker. Then they traded a first round pick to get Minkah Fitzpatrick. So all of a sudden, they're now a top 5 defense with those two guys. So we'll see where there's going to be a little bit of a drop off, and there probably will be, because Bush is so good blitzing, so good leading, so good as a linebacker. You lose a Pro Bowl guy like that, you pay a price.
John, I'm seeing the reports about the NFL telling the Titans that their review of how the team handled the whole coronavirus outbreak is wrapped up. It's expected they'll face a fine, but it seems like, according to Schefter and those out there, that they're not going to forfeit any draft picks or anything like that. What do you think of that punishment if it is just a fine?
Yeah, I can understand not suspending the players and all that stuff, but I think that they need more than just a fine. I think that's wrong, because, again, you know, it pushed things back and juggled things. I mean, say what you want about the situation with in New England and all that stuff, but I mean, it puts everybody in a bad spot, because you're juggling the schedule and you had to do it for 2 weeks, and so I thought that was bad, and so I think they deserve more than just a fine. So I'm disappointed in that.
Professor, we have the Cardinals against the Cowboys tonight and Arizona on the road, a slight 1-point favorite. Who do you like, John?
I don't know. I kind of almost don't want to watch it, but it's like you would think it would have to be Arizona, because who in that secondary can handle DeAndre Hopkins? I mean, nobody's been able to handle him so far, and they can't handle anybody in the secondary. So I do give the slight edge, I guess, to Arizona.
Jim's calling that his upset special. That's pretty weak, isn't it?
Well, what? Arizona's favored, right?
No, I'm taking Dallas? The Cowboys in one, John.
Okay.
Yeah, with Andy Dalton.
It's a 1 point.
That's the red rifle, by the way.
Well, what? Yeah. You call me lame for something there?
It's a one point spread? No, in fact.
Well, no, you're not, Professor.
No, I'm talking about him calling it his upset special. That's all.
Yeah, but what I'm looking at is that, and here's the weird thing, because, you know, working on that stuff with the bad football teams, I went to 538, you know, which is the analytical site that you know, does politics, but it also does football. And just like I thought, it has the Cowboys coming out with a 6-10 record and winning the division by a half game over Philadelphia, which shows me, because again, they had the Redskins at 4 wins, the Giants at 4 wins and the Redskins at 5.
That's the Washington football team, John.
The Washington football team, that is correct. And so it's like, if you want to call them a football team with their record. But overall, I think what it shows you is they think that they can go 5-1 in the division, and that's about it, losing to everybody else.
Well, and they could have a home game, a home playoff game, right?
You're right, yeah.
It's 6-10 against an 11-5 team.
That's correct.
That's
or 12-win team.
Jeez. John, we appreciate it. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, there you go. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. All right, we're going to have a little fun coming up here, because we know Russell Wilson is Mr. Positivity. He's known for his positive attitude, and he's got many sayings to go along with that. Maura is going to put us to the test. So she's going to see if we can guess whether she's going to read a quote, whether it's Russell Wilson or a motivational speaker.
Oh, so we're going to have a contest between you and me?
Yeah, we'll have to guess.
Okay.
So that's,
I'm looking forward to this.
It's coming up.
And I bet you I win.
You might.
All right.
You might.
Oh, really?
You might.
Okay.
I don't claim to be a Russell expert. I don't have his sayings memorized. So.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. Coming up with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
What are you laughing at, Jim?
I just love Matt Nelson. You know, I think I can tell what Matt's thinking, even when he's not, you know, saying it verbally.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Am I right, Matt? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've got game show music there for a good reason. Maura is going to test us. And basically,
I like the idea of this. I like the premise.
Yeah.
Maura, good job. I'm fired up.
So it's going to be a Russell Wilson quote or a motivational speaker quote, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's known, you know, for just always having such positive messages. He kind of has some slogans like separations in the preparation. And I just wanted to know if you guys could distinguish, because he almost sounds like a motivational speaker.
He really does. I think this could be tougher than people think, unless they've just got his sayings memorized, which I do not. So. Jim, why don't you go first?
Okay, go ahead, Maura.
All right, first up, Jim. In every day, there are 1,440 minutes. That means we have 1,440 daily opportunities to make a positive impact.
I've never heard Russell say that, so I'll go with motivational speaker.
Oh, good job, Jim.
Is that a happy winner sound?
Yeah, yes, look at the production value here, huh?
Okay.
Hey.
Okay.
All right.
One nice nothing, Bob.
Nice job. All right. Go ahead, Moore.
I'll let you keep score, Jim. All right. For Bob, circumstances are going to change. Circumstances in life, circumstances in general, the weather, the day, whatever. At the end of the day, your thought process on trying to be great should never change.
Ooh, I was going motivational speaker, but when you said I'm trying to be great, I feel like that's Russell.
Yeah. Ah, you're one. Ooh. For one.
You got an easier question than I did.
Why was it easier?
You did.
Because they used the word
right,
trying to be great.
He mentioned weather, about wanting to be one of the greatest of all time.
I thought it was a motivational speaker up until she said trying to be great.
All right.
Tied 1-1. Already we got
complaints. I'm going to be a poor loser if I lose, you know.
Go ahead, Maura.
All right, Jim, you're up.
Okay.
Goals help you channel your energy into action.
Ooh.
Mm. One more time, please.
Goals help you channel your energy into action.
I'll go with Russell on that one.
Oh, no.
Look how happy Matt Nelson is.
Come on, you have to be pulling for the golf show host in there. Come on, Matt.
I should be saying who these are. That was Les Brown, actually.
I don't know who that is. But
I know. I don't know a lot of motivational speakers either. I had to do some research.
I know who Tony Robbins is. That's it. All right. Go ahead. Next one.
Okay. Bob. Pursue excellence. Ignore success. Success is a byproduct of excellence.
That's a motivational speaker.
That is correct. That's Deepak Chopra.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard of him. That just seemed too wordy for Russell. There's too much in there. All right, I'm up 2-1.
2-1.
All right, Jim.
Okay, I'm ready.
I truly believe in positive synergy, that your positive mindset gives you a more hopeful outlook, and belief that you can do something great means that you will do something great.
That's Russell.
I didn't realize the great is a giveaway, huh? You guys have pointed that out now.
I've never heard him say synergy, though.
I was just going to say that. That one threw me off a little bit. All right. Go ahead, Maura.
Okay. Let's see here. Always persevere, always have a great perspective, and always have great purpose in your life.
Well, you're using that word great a lot. I'll go Russell.
Ooh. That's right. He says his dad used to tell him that.
Okay. Jim's looking at me like, you're getting the easy ones. He feels like...
No, I didn't think that one was easy. So it's Russell Wilson or motivational speaker, in case anyone's tuning in.
Yeah, going, what are they talking about?
Late to the game show here.
And if you're late to the game show, right now I'm winning 3-2. Go ahead, Mark.
That is correct.
All right.
Go ahead.
You don't have to have, Jim, this is you, sorry. You don't have to have a reason to feel good. You're alive. You can feel good for no reason at all.
That's a motivational speaker.
Oh.
No, actually, he was right. Sorry, Matt. That is Tony Robbins.
Matt
was so anxious to hit the buzzer.
Yeah, I know. He can't wait for you to be wrong.
Bob paid him to throw it.
I thought he got it wrong. It seemed obvious to me.
All right, Bob. If we start being honest about our pain, our anger, and our shortcomings, instead of pretending they don't exist, then maybe we'll leave the world a better place than we found it.
That's a motivational speaker. Whoa!
That is Russell Wilson.
Really?
I would have voted.
Where would you?
I would have the same answer as you.
Yeah, that sounded very motivational. Wow. Okay. What's the score?
3-3.
Oh boy.
What are we going to? 5?
Or until she runs out of questions, or
until the segment ends.
Comments. Yeah.
Are the listeners enjoying this? 7-10, 7-10. This reminds me of Misfit Radio, the good old days of Misfit Radio.
Of course, they're enjoying it. It's gold. It's gold, Jim. It's gold.
All right, 3-3. Go ahead, Mara.
All right. A star wants to rise to the top. A leader wants to see those around them become stars.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I'll go with motivational speaker.
You are correct.
Wow.
Simon Sinek.
Thank you.
Nice job. Jim's in the lead. All right.
Go Cougs, baby.
Thank you. All right, let's see here. Bob, everybody has a dream, but not everybody has a grind.
So what was not everybody has what?
A grind.
A grind?
Yeah.
That's Russell. Whoa!
That is motivational speaker Eric Thomas.
Oh, the great Eric Thomas.
Kind of
I
true.
Should have known that. That sounded like a Russell saying right there.
I can run away with this thing if I get the right answer here.
Good. People,
okay.
People weighing right, in, by Jim. The way. I will only enjoy this if Jim loses, says Nick. Love, love, love this segment. Keep it up. Another one. Why isn't this segment every week?
Okay. So Russell Wilson or motivational speaker, and I lead 4-3.
Go ahead, Moore.
All right. This one, the person is speaking on expectations. It says, at the end of the day, it's what you expect, not what everybody else expects. You create your own standard. You are not necessarily trying to prove other people wrong. You're just trying to prove yourself right.
Hmm. I'll go with, let's see, do I have a coin? I'll go with Russell on that one.
Oh, man, I didn't think you were gonna get it.
Look at that. He said with no conviction whatsoever.
No, I didn't. It was just it was a coin flip.
He's up by two. All right, go ahead, Maura.
All right. Let's see here. When you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful.
Say motivational speech.
I feel like it's Russell. Damn!
Eric Thomas again.
I'm tired of Eric Thomas.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Wait, what score are we at, Jim?
It's 5-3.
For
the good guys.
For the good guys. Go ahead. Give him one more.
I have a couple more. Do you want to? Okay.
Yeah.
Jim.
All right.
Let's see here. There's a king in every crowd.
What? There's a king in every crowd? That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Motivational speaker.
Yeah, that's it. That is Russell Wilson.
Well, that's okay. I've already built a big enough lead where I can't lose.
Give me one more. I got to end on a win anyway. Or getting one right. Jim's
right.
Already won.
Every day is a new day. Every day is a new challenge. Every day is an awesome opportunity to learn something new, gain more knowledge. I'm never afraid to gain more knowledge.
That's Russell. All right. There you go. Congrats, right. Jim. Jim won 5-4.
You got a garbage time touchdown there.
Hey, I backdoor cover, Jim.
Yeah. That's backdoor right. cover. That's very good,
that?
Bob. You're catching on.
All right. Yeah.
I think what we learned is that Russell needs to be a motivational speaker.
I know. He's right. I mean, literally, just about every one of those, you're going, that could be either. I have no idea.
That was fun, Maura.
Yeah. Nice work, Maura. I think the listeners liked it, too. They were weighing in on the text.
Matt, line, did you enjoy that?
Just great, Jim.
Okay. He would have enjoyed it more if you were wrong more.
Good answer. Play that little ding there for that answer.
He would have liked it if you had more wrong answers. He was aching to hit that buzzer. I can see it. All right.
I should have just had him do the that's tremendous, that's horrendous sounders for you guys.
Oh, we've only done that game once.
I know. It's hard to do when everybody's on remote. We need to be in person.
Yeah.
Really
okay.
Make these things work.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff, Maura. Coming up.
Thank you.
Did this weekend catapult Russell Wilson far ahead of anybody else in this MVP race? We'll talk about that next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
The 5 o'clock refresh is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, made to chill. Reminder, you can listen to the show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. You just download it for free, and you can take us with you wherever you go. You've got access to video, podcast, everything from that app, so check that out. Before we get into the MVP conversation, I want to play you something from a guy we've heard from a few times on this show. Goes by the name of Boogerbeard, and he usually he's recording videos on his Twitter page and yelling at me for something. But he made you the subject of his latest.
Well, he tweeted something over the weekend, and it was really nice what he tweeted. He was thanking people in his life, and I just said, hey, that's really nice, but hopefully you'll keep yelling, because that's what Booger Beard's known for most, right?
Yeah, it's
his
delivery. Yeah. That's, and here's his response to your tweet.
Well, good afternoon, Jim Moore. Hey, this weekend I tried to make a nice wholesome post just thanking people for, supporting me. And you got on there with a smirk on your face, I could tell. And you said, hey, that's nice, Booger Beard, but why don't you scream some more? Hey, you were smirking in the message, I could tell. But I just want you to know that I don't have to scream, Jim. I only do that when I'm angry.
about what you did to ruin my wholesome post. I thought we were friends, Jim Moore, even though you're a cougar. And I don't like WSU. I like UW. But to be honest, a lot of people from UW seem really uptight. And UW, you seem like a nice guy. Can we be friends? I just want to be friends, Jim. Let's be friends.
There you go.
I didn't have a smirk on my face when I tweeted that to him. I just wanted to remind him that I like his yelling. And I said it was nice what he said about his the people supporting him in his life.
So. Yeah. It's like the rage comes out and then it just sort of dials. Can we be friends? Yeah. So there you go. There's the latest.
Yeah.
There you go.
Doesn't like the Cougs. Can you imagine?
That's weird.
I know.
Seems like everybody should or does, right?
I think so.
Yeah. At least in your world. All right. So good to hear from him. And again, maybe we'll get him on the Get in the Cage podcast sometime soon. Yeah, it's always good to hear from him. I find him very funny.
Yeah.
All right. So this weekend, Russell Wilson didn't play it down. Seahawks had the week off. But what happened is it made the MVP race as it sits right now very clear. If the season were to end today, your MVP would be Russell Wilson, would it not?
Oh, he's a runaway leader right now. I check the current odds down in Las Vegas, and they update these things every week. And he's pretty much a prohibitive favorite. Well, prohibitive is probably too strong. But he's minus 134, which means you'd have to bet $134 to win 100. So he's the favorite. And then the second guy is Mahomes at 5-1 odds.
Okay.
So and then you go down the list. Aaron Rodgers has fallen off now after yesterday. Throwing 45% completion rate. He's 6-1. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson at 16-1. Derrick Henry's at 25-1. Rushed for over 200 yards yesterday. So he picked up. He's on a pace for 1,800 yards now.
Man.
And he rushed for 1,540 last year. And then just going down the list, a couple more names. Ben Roethlisberger, 25-1. Tom Brady, after yesterday, 30-1. And Ryan Tannehill is kind of a live dog here.
At live dog.
33-1, Bob. But he's been playing really well for the Titans.
Well, and Moore's got a note here from Dan Orlovsky saying that he is an actual consideration. According to Pro Football Focus, Ryan Tannehill, since he became a starter week 7 of last season, a 92 grade, which is second, a 40 passing touchdowns, which is first, and 8.6 yards per attempt, which is first.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that, would you? Because you think about Titans offense, Derrick Henry, but
yeah.
Tannehill's been doing a good job, and his numbers are comparable to Patrick Mahomes over the last 15 games, according to the professor.
Yeah, but right, I mean, again, this is this week, and it can all change in 1 week. As we saw with Aaron Rodgers, he has a game where he throws two picks and had a 45% completion rate, 160 yards on the – so one game, and all of a sudden you're like, well, he's out. Well,
right.
He's out this week.
Yeah, changes.
Right? Russell could have a now I don't expect him to, but he could have a down game against the Cardinals and maybe the Packers next game. I'm not sure who they're playing, but could come out and set the world afire.
Yeah.
4 touchdowns, 340 yards, and, you know, 72% completion. All of a sudden, he's the favorite again. So this is kind of how it went last year with Lamar Jackson. The first half of the season, it was Russell. Remember? We were looking at him going, this is his year. This is his year. And he took a little step back, and then Lamar just went crazy and put up, you know, ridiculous numbers running, and they weren't losing. So that was helping that case to be made. But right now, as of this week, on a week where Russell didn't even play, he comes out and is the odds-on favorite. Which,
can I ask you a question, though?
Is this about your superstitious beliefs?
I saw that use of the word superstitious.
Yeah, I put that
in the show
for
prep
you.
Email.
I put that for
it's
you.
It's not superstition. I'm not superstitious. The reason I don't necessarily want Russell Wilson to win the MVP is because a Super Bowl champion has not won the MVP since 1999 when Kurt Warner did it with the St. Louis Rams. So it's a 21-year trend, as your friend. Typically, an MVP during the regular season for the last 21 years has not won the Super Bowl.
But what's the connection to you? What makes that so? It's not just...
It's history.
But
it's precedent.
So what would happen if Russell has this ridiculous season and he leads the league in touchdowns and whatever percentage, you know, completion percentage, quarterback, whatever it is, he wins the award. Do you think he tails off feeling like, I'm the king, and I don't have to try as hard.
No,
or
what, I don't
what,
know.
What happens?
No,
what's the connection between the two?
I haven't looked into it that far, to be honest. I just haven't done the deep dive that's necessary as to why this is the case. But 21 years in a row, that's a long time.
It is.
So, you know, what is it? Is it partly because typically an NFL MVP, the salary cap, you're paying that guy so much that makes it hard to find? Because you could argue, like, let's say he wins the MVP and the Seahawks go to the Super Bowl, but they get beat by the AFC team. Well, maybe if Russell hadn't been making $35 million a year, they could have done more with the defensive line or something like that. So maybe that plays a role in it.
So you were...
I'm not actively rooting against Russell Wilson.
You just answered my question. Are you honestly deep down hoping, hey, I hope he has a brilliant season, but somebody else gets the award?
Yeah, but... Well, maybe it'll end up being a superstition as you're saying, Bob, but...
So if he got it, would you be like, oh, great?
Well, there'd be a little part of me, yeah.
Oh, great. Well, there goes the Super Bowl hopes. Hope you enjoy your award, Russell.
But Russell's the kind of guy that can, you know, make history himself and be the first one to do it in 21, 22 years.
Yeah, he could buck the trend, right?
He could.
I mean, that I understand the...
So you don't put any credence into that at all?
No, I think it's happenstance.
Do you?
I'd have to, like you said, you
happenstance,
have to
coincidence.
Go on the deep dive and look at who these teams were that the MVP came from. Like, all right, were they great? And they had a terrible, terrible defense, or you know, they had a bunch of injuries, or what have you. I don't know what the circumstances to them not getting there were. I mean, what, Patrick Mahomes won it, but not the year they won the Super Bowl.
Right, Lamar Jackson last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't buy that there's a connect. I wouldn't feel like if he won it, oh, great. Hopefully next year he doesn't win it, and then we can hope the team gets the Super Bowl. You know,
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I'm still pulling for him, and I think all the 12s would be just absolutely in a state of euphoria if he wins a Super Bowl or wins an MVP.
Well, finally getting the recognition that he's deserved for so many years, and we've known about him in the Northwest and have loved him, and it seems like it's taken a while to get around the country, and now it certainly has.
And now you'd like it to slow down. Slow that down a little bit. All right, coming up, we'll talk some more football with the professor, John Clayton. That's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
I think we learned a lot today. I feel like we did. Right, Maura?
Yeah, me too. It's just overwhelming.
What did we learn today?
First up, we learned that Sean McVay's voice doesn't make sense.
A lot of our players that we count on that didn't come through in some situations that they typically do. But
we get him a throat lozenge or something?
No, I was just going to say, does that voice go with his body?
Kind of.
Does it?
Kind of, yeah.
No, I mean, if you told...
Kind of a firecracker voice, but it sounded a little roughed up there.
If you had just played that without telling me who it was, I wouldn't have come up with Sean McVay.
What would
that.
You have pictured? A big guy? Small guy?
Yeah, probably a bigger guy.
Yeah.
See, that sounded like a small guy voice to me. Well, we got to do this.
Did it?
Sounds like a squeaky little dude.
I guess I'm just not used to hearing McVay's voice yet.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that far off. It just sounded like it was roughed up a little bit.
Yeah.
But that sounded like if I had never heard him speak before, I would have thought, yeah, it's a little guy.
Sounds like this. Yeah.
An unnamed former player that I talked to at the Super Bowl called him a John Gruden wannabe to me. And now, like, when I hear Gruden, I can hear the similarities.
Oh, really?
The way they talk. Mm, yeah.
Wow.
Wow, okay. Well, maybe there's something to that. Huh, interesting.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't... Well, you see that all the time, don't you, when you hear somebody's voice and it doesn't... Like, typically when you listen to a radio show and then you hear the voice for so long and you picture what the guy looks like and it doesn't look like that.
That's why Dave doesn't want to know what El Hombre looks like.
Yeah.
He's got a picture in his mind of what he looks like.
Even though Dave could Google him and see him on Twitter.
Yeah, I could show it to him in two seconds, but he doesn't want to see him.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to see him. Do you think Ed Ogeron sounds like...
Yes.
His voice fits his body.
His voice fits his body, definitely. Don't you think?
Yeah, I just like hearing the guy. I'd if he did a book on tape, I'd buy it.
Oh, I love him.
I love hearing him speak. Quite a voice. What else did we learn, Maura?
Yeah, he could probably pretty well on that Cameo website where you pay people to record birthday messages
and
stuff.
Yeah. He could make some money there.
Yeah. we also learned that Jim's upset special for tonight might be missing the upset component.
You're making fun of my upset special, aren't you? Why don't you tell the listeners why you're making fun of it, Bob?
It's a one-point spread.
Yeah, but is Dallas an underdog?
I guess by a point.
Okay, they are an underdog.
I tend to think
upset special if Dallas wins.
I feel like when you say upset special, it's like one where you're like, man, I'm going out on a limb with this one.
I know, you're
this
right.
This is a big one.
Yeah, it's fair to rip me for that.
That's true.
A one-point spread. Dallas is a one-point.
Yeah, they're technically an underdog, but that's about the least amount of underdog you can possibly be. Because the next step up is pick 'em.
the least amount of underdog.
Yeah, okay, I'll come up with a bigger underdog this week.
Well, because you did the week before, right? What was it? I can't remember.
I think
who
so,
it was.
But I think
it was a much bigger, a much smaller limb. It was a very thin limb. Like, wow, okay.
I think I missed it. What would you do if I took the Jets as the upset special? And if it came in,
that like would truly be an upset special.
They're 11-point underdogs to Buffalo this week.
I would give you credit for truly okay. picking a.
That would
an
make
upset.
Up for this 1-point yeah. underdog that I have tonight.
Very much, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Are you flirting with picking the Jets?
I would pick them for the upset against a team other than Buffalo.
A team other than Buffalo.
A team other than
Buffalo. I'm just saying.
Picking the Jets to win.
If the Jets are going to finally win, I don't think it'll be against Buffalo.
I don't think so either, especially with the Bills coming off two losses now.
Yeah. I still feel like Miami is their best chance.
Yeah.
If they're going to win. I wouldn't pick them to win that one, but doesn't that feel like the most likely of...
Oh, when they put... Yeah, but Miami beat him 24-0 yesterday.
I know, but I'm just trying to find the most likely spot if you're going to find a win. I think they're going to go winless, personally. That's where my bet would be.
It's possible.
Yeah. Find out.
What else, Maura?
We learned Scrabble tips from head coach Pete Carroll.
Got a new number and all that. It looks good. You know, it looks svelte. And I'm excited just to get him out there and get him in the mix. We really haven't had a great look. We'll have a good padded practice this week that'll help, and we'll see how he's doing. But I'm excited. He's a great guy, and I hope that he can help us out and be part of it.
I'm sorry, you said he looks what?
Svelte.
Okay, that's what I thought you said.
Yeah, that's with the SV, Scrabble word.
Scrabble's a great game.
Pete was in good humor today. He seemed like he was in a good mood. He was light, but he didn't really say much. We didn't get a lot out of Pete's press conference today. I didn't feel.
No, but even he admitted that he was a bad interview today.
Yeah.
He gave us injury updates, though, which were good.
Do we know anything about Jamal Adams?
No, he was noncommittal on him.
I think the only area he was committal was Leno Hill.
That was bad committal.
I wouldn't expect to see him this week. So
back
I just
injury.
Like that he was talking about Snacks Harrison in that cut. I don't know if svelte is a word that's ever been used to describe him.
A man named Snacks being referred to as
when you
svelte.
Look it up in the dictionary, it says slender and elegant.
Yeah, it doesn't fit. Doesn't seem to fit.
Comparatively svelte to what he used to look like, it sounds like. Like maybe he's 325 instead of 350.
Yeah, we'll find out. Yeah. I'd prefer him on the bigger side. Just slow down that running.
Yeah.
What else did we learn, Maura?
That's all the learning for today.
All right, good stuff. Want to thank our guests Dean Blandino and John Clayton for joining us on the program. If you missed any of today's show, head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click the podcast button, then just scroll down to our picture and click on that. And it's right there for you each and every day. We'll be back tomorrow right here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.